Thank you, Lord God. Well, we've been on a series about being led by the Spirit of God. And today I want to talk about the Word. And of course, you know, we've made reference to this all along. It almost goes without saying, but it really doesn't go without saying that the Word is the number one way that we're going to be led. The written Word of God. Yes, we thank God we have His Spirit indwelling us, but He will always, the Spirit of God will always lead us in line with the written Word. Always. And we'll see that today. But the Word of God, this book, is not just a book. It is the inspired Word of the living God to us. It has survived through the ages. People have tried to destroy it. But it's come together and it was written for us. Written. If it was just tradition or just hearsay or just passed down, it can so much easier get corrupted, as so many things do. But that's why it was written in black and white for us. God knew the best way so that it would be here for us the same way it was for the early church. You know, they didn't have all the New Testament that we had. They had letters that were putting down the doctrine that we can look back on. And that's why that was written. But it was written so that those same concepts, you know, after a little bit, all these things were put together. And so we have the same thing. That's why it's just so important what it actually says. And not what somebody says it says. Because that's not what it says. You can't go by what somebody said. This means this. Well, if you look at it and say, I just don't get it. Well, wait till you get it. Wait till it makes sense and you can see it in here. Because it doesn't matter who says it. It doesn't matter what their name is. It doesn't matter how many people believe they're right. Because there are whole religions in the world with millions, if not over a billion people that are not the gospel. Does that mean they're right? No. Numbers don't mean anything. Big ministries don't mean anything. It's the Word of God that determines what we believe. End of story. If I ever say something you can't see in the Word, ask me about it. Brother Hagin said that all the time. Don't take my word for it. Look at the Word. But some people, we're so apt to just go, yeah, yeah, but you look pretty good, so I'm just going to take whatever you say. What I say can be tainted with my background and everything, but what the Word says will never, ever lead us astray. Now, we judge the Word, we interpret the Word with the Word. Commentaries are fine, but again, those are men trying to give you light on the Word. So just make sure whatever you believe, it agrees with the Word, and you can see it in the Word, because that's where our faith has to be. We can't have faith on what somebody else said. It's got to be faith in what God said. That's how we have faith. If my child would come to me and say, hey, Dad, I want, you know, new video game system. Okay. Yeah, well, my friend Johnny said that you would buy it for me. Really? Who's Johnny to me? Yeah, but he said that you would buy it for me. Okay. But that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that I'm going to buy it for him. Now, if I told my children, at such and such a date or for your birthday or whatever, we will get this video game system or whatever it is, book, bike, whatever, and we'll buy that for you. Now they come to me and say, Daddy, you said, okay, either I'm a man of integrity, of my word, or I'm not. See, then that's where they can have faith and believe that if I'm true to my word, what I said will happen. But if it's what Johnny said, or if it's what Johnny said I said, if it's not what I said, they can't take it to the bank. But if it's what I said, then they can take it to the bank, because I will do what I said. Well, God's the same way, okay? So If he said it, that's where our faith says, God, you said it, therefore it's mine. You're a God of your word. You've never broken it. If you've broken it, the worlds would blow up because it's all upheld by the power of his word. He cannot lie. So, if he said it, it's truth. And if I know he said it, then I can have faith and stand on it. Hallelujah. But we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God, and what and the Word is the first place. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Thank God for the Word. Thank God that we're freely able to read the Word, that we can look at the Word, that we're not going to be persecuted. You know, we might take a little flack if we pull out our Bible, but they're not going to pull out a gun, not at this point in this country. Thank God we have the ability that we don't have to go underground to meet, that we can just meet, we can advertise, we can do whatever we want because we have that freedom. Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105 said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Light. Truth. It illuminates where I'm going. The Bible illuminates, the Word of God illuminates my path. We're talking about being directed by the Spirit of God. By God. He's going to direct us. The Word will lighten our path, will show us where to go. If we can see it in the Word, we don't have to go to God about it. Now, if we don't understand specifically something in the Word, ask Him about it. Ask God to give you wisdom. God, I don't understand exactly what's being said here. Lord, show me. James 1:5 says, if you didn't need wisdom, ask. And if you need it, He's not going to go, oh, you really asked that question. That was a stupid question. He won't be like that. So without reproach, He's going to say, okay, and He will give it if we'll ask Him. So if we don't understand specifically what the Word's saying on something, we can ask Him to show us. But the Word is going to direct us. If we know it said it, don't override that. If you know the Word of God said it, don't try to get around it. Don't try to get around it and try to say, oh, but God's saying this. That's not God. It's not Him. He will never... What the Spirit of God says will never disagree with what the Word of God says. Let's turn over to Hebrews 4. These are just a few kind of opening scriptures about the Word before we get into the meat of what we're going to be talking about. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now we talked about spirit, soul, and body, that it's our spirit that God's going to lead. Well, it says the Bible is living, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Sometimes it is hard to discern certain things between what's your emotions, what is your want to, you know, in the soulless realm, and what is your heart. But the Word of God can cut through that. The Word of God can, you're looking at the Word and it'll say, boom, give you light, divide it. Say, okay, see, that was my soulless realm. That's not my heart. That's why give God time to lead you. If it's a big, you know, if it's where you're going for dinner, well, you know, you can't wait too long or you're going to fast for the night. So it's going to be tomorrow, right? But if it's, you know, where you're going to move, major life change, whom you're going to marry, you know, the next job you're going to take. If you don't have to, it's not tomorrow. You don't have to move quick. Because sometimes if it's God, it will be God. If it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. It'll be God next week, next month, next year. Because He doesn't change. He does not make a mistake. His first analysis is the right analysis. And He did that a long time ago. He already knows our whole life. before we are born. He's got it figured out. When we go to ask him, he says, yep, I already know what you're going to do. Here it is. And it's not going to change next week. If we get, I've done it. I've messed up. I've gotten in a hurry. Oh, this must be God. You go a little bit. No, it wasn't God. Well, we don't have to do that. We don't. Sometimes we want to. Have you ever been there? Man, I want to do this, and you might even have a tug. I know it's, I shouldn't, and no, it's not. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about something, you know, you go make a purchase. Not sure that's the right one. Something. Should I go to this place tonight? Nah, stay home. And you get out, and you end up spending the whole night in traffic or, you know, something stupid. But you knew that it was God was saying no, but you wanted to go. But God knew what was going on. He knew you're going to run into traffic. So he's trying to pull you back, but you don't want to stay home. You want to go. So you act, and this is dangerous. You act like that. If you know, and you know it's God, and you act like it's not, that's a dangerous play because you don't want to override that voice. He knows, especially not in big things. Don't override that voice. Oh, man. Don't override that voice. But give him time to make it clear. If we trust him, we'll give him time. And know this. I've said this before. But God does not push us. He does not push us. The devil will push us. So if you're thinking, oh, but I got to make this decision. There's this great deal or this is going to go on. Don't worry about it. God knows. He didn't make it so that you had to make a super fast decision in order to get the great deal. And more often than not, when it's a situation like that, that's not God. I'm not saying every time, but God gives us what we need ahead of time. So that when we come to that situation, if you need to make a quick decision, he's really already dealt with you. You know what you need to do and you have a peace and you say, yeah, that's God. But if you're on the fence, stop. Stop and wait. But we're saying here, the word of God will divide. Give him time to speak. Spend time. You got a big decision? Spend time in the word. Be quiet before him. Let him speak to you. Give him a chance for that word. You might be saying, I don't know which way. And then you read something in your time with God and you say, oh, okay, makes it clear. Boom. Divided it. Okay, that's not God. This is God. Or vice versa. I see it. End of story. And he spoke to it, you through his word. If we get the attitude that God's word is him speaking to us, man, it doesn't make it a chore to read the word of God. We were talking to our children this weekend. You know, we have them do their devotions in the morning. And, you know, just that's a discipline. Sometimes kids don't, you know, they would rather go out and play. But we're instilling that in them so that when they get old, that's there. But our flesh sometimes doesn't want to wait, doesn't want to look in the Word, doesn't want to. But if we know that that's him speaking to us, sometimes we get the attitude, you know, prayer, that's us speaking to him, but then, well, I'll just read the Word. No. Man, if we're reading the Word, the Holy Spirit is quickening it to us, and he'll enlighten us and show us. And just, we're having a conversation with him. I mean, he'll speak to us, and you'll be like, yeah, really? And he'll show us something else. And, oh, those are so precious. Those times with him. So give him the time to divide between our soul and our spirit and our heart and let him just lead us. Let's turn over to Matthew. Again, these are supposed to be just kind of getting going, but, you know, we just go with God here, what he's emphasizing. The word of God is just so powerful and precious, though. Matthew 4, verse 1. Matthew 4, verse 1, says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how Jesus answered him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's how our life ought to be, that we live by the word. We let it govern our lives. We let him guide us and direct us, that it is our sustenance. It is our spiritual sustenance. Just like we need this body, this flesh needs food and water to survive. If it doesn't, it will die. Our spirit, God's word, is life and it's sustenance to our spirit. Smith Wigglesworth used to eat, you know, when he would eat, he'd get done eating, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Then he'd pull out, evidently, you know, he would carry with him a little New Testament. He'd pull out his New Testament and say, well, we fed our outward man, now it's time to feed our inward man. And he'd just read a little bit. Sometimes, I've been there, and this is a nugget. Sometimes we feel like we're worn out physically, and it's actually that we're just not spiritually up. That we need to spend some time in the Word and spend some time with God. Sometimes you feel tired, you think, oh, I just need a nap. But or I need to get to bed early. You get up, and you still feel the same way. Because it's not physical. Your body can take strength from your spirit. Now Romans 8:2 and 8:11. So his spirit, the spirit that dwells in us, will quicken our mortal bodies. If we'll take the time, man, I felt tired, didn't get enough sleep or something was going on. You spend some time with him, you can spend a few minutes and you get nourished by his word and you're ready to go. You're vibrant, you're ready. And it wasn't physical. Your physical body may be tired, but you just needed to get in the word. You needed some sustenance of the word. But Jesus said, we're not supposed to live on just natural things. We're supposed to live by God's word. And it's important that we're supposed to live by his word. That means make decisions by his word. He'll tell us what to do. There's a lot of things that we think, you know, we may live in a different world. You know, we have technology they didn't have. But the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. This technology, really, it just does things to help us live our daily lives. When you get down to it, it's all the same stuff anyway. You know, so we do business a little differently. You know, so you watch a game on TV. Well, would you rather stay at home and watch the game or be there on the 50-yard line? They've always had stuff like that. You could be there. You know, we watch ministers or something on TV, but you could be in the service. It's just the technology, yes, air conditioning, things like that. It helps us. But when you get down to it, it's all just the same stuff. And so we ought to not get distracted by any of that stuff. Don't get into it. Don't let it take the place that his word is supposed to have. It's the same stuff. We're dealing with the same things. The word of God already governs those things, already tells us how to deal with the issues of life. So many decisions that we come up to and we say, wow, I just don't know what to do about this. God does. And he's put the principles in his word that are going to help us make the right decision. Thank God. Well, let's go over to John. John 1. That was all kind of introduction. John 1. One. It says, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now skip down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, Jesus. Jesus has always been and always will be. He is God. He is the Word. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, he, the Word, became flesh on the earth. Hallelujah. The King of the universe, the one that's always been, came in the form of a man. He was first 100% God, but he came as 100% man. Why did he have to come? To redeem us, who are men. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, he's the Word. He's full of truth. He is truth. He is the right way to do it. God is truth. He never makes a mistake. He never says, uh-oh. He never says, well, I didn't think of that. He's truth. Always. So when we're being led by him, the Word is truth. It's the right way to do it. It always has been. It always will be. It didn't change because it's 2012 and all of a sudden, you know, that's old-fashioned to do it that way. No, there's a lot of things that are quote-unquote old-fashioned that we ought to get back to because they're based on the Word. People are discounting a lot of things in this day and age, and they're saying, well, that's just, you know, outmoded. That's old. We're past that. No, we're not past it if it's the Word. That's why we get in a mess a lot of times and why things are not going the way they should and people are having problems, but we want to do it our way. We don't want to do what the Word says and what has always worked and what the living God gave us to govern our lives, the manual for living. And we, you know, people want to go off. They don't want to listen to the Word, and then they make a mess of their life, yet still don't want to admit that they could, that they have to submit to a God. He doesn't exist or whatever. Well, in our own lives, we have a choice to make sure the Word, we give the Word first place in our life. And if it tells us to do something, we do it. We don't care if we feel like it. There is no debate about that. You don't have to divide between soul and spirit when the Word plainly says it, done. That's what I do. Period. I don't care if I don't see it yet. God will take care of that. If I can see that the Word says it, then I do it. That's being led by him, and we don't have to debate it. We don't have to, you know, sit, well, I don't really know. If we know and we see it, then don't play games. Don't drag your heels. Don't try to get God to change his mind. He's written it. He's the Word. We just follow it. Let's turn to John 14. I'm so thankful that we have this Word, that we have the written Word of God. We don't have to take men's opinions or word for things. We can look it up in the very Word of the living God. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." The Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We live in the day now where he is in us. But notice what he calls the Holy Spirit. He said he's going to send him. And he has. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth. You know, we just read that Jesus is full of grace and truth. The Word. Jesus is the Word. It's truth. This is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth will always lead us in line with the written truth. They agree. Because the Spirit of God's who inspired the written Word. And he operates the same way today. Let's turn to John 16, just a few chapters over. John 16, verse 12. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." If there's something just, you know, aside, if there's something we don't understand completely, we can hear somebody say it, we kind of see it, but it's not, you know, somebody says something, well, I don't know about that, but it's somebody you respect, who's much further than you. The other things they've said, you know, have made sense and lined up with the Word of God, like I said before, shelve it. Shelve that truth. Put it on the shelf. Because there may come a day after you've grown, after some things have happened, after you've seen something in the Word, some things in the Word, you come back and you'll find, yeah, you may have to get a stepladder to put that on the shelf initially. But you come back to it and you've grown some and you go and re-examine that thing and you say, oh, I see it. I see what he was saying. That was right. I wasn't able to bear it. I did not have the understanding. I didn't see some things in the Word. I needed to see that. Now I can see that, and I understand. It's clear. Okay. Don't toss everything out or certain things out because, you know, we don't see it, because we don't know everything. Maybe we have to change. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true. So verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. See, the Spirit of truth, he's going to guide us into all truth. He's going to lead us. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So he's the Word. Jesus is the Word. He is truth. The Spirit of truth is going to declare to us what he hears, Jesus, and which what proceeds out of the Father. He's going to know, he's going to declare to us what he hears. And that is always going to be truth. The Word of God came into existence. Jesus was the Word. He came flesh. We have the Holy Written Word here. And the Spirit of truth is going to line us, he's going to always lead us in line with that truth. Always. Chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 16. Jesus is praying for his disciples. He says, they are not of this world, not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify or set apart myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And what did he just say? Your word is truth. We just read that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So it all goes. They're going to reinforce each other. If the Spirit of God, you can be led by the Spirit of God and not in the right direction and not even know that you're following something that's already written in the Word. But the Spirit of God will always lead us in line with the Word. So in other words, you could be saying, I really feel like I ought to be doing this. And you feel like it's what God is telling you and you do it. And then 3 years later, you come across something in the Word or see it in the Word. And it's telling you to do the very thing that the Spirit of God was telling you. But you weren't aware of that chapter and verse. That's happened to me. But he was leading you in the right way. And he is agreeing what he already knew that's in the Word, but you didn't know it. You see how powerful it is that we have the Spirit of truth in addition to the Word, the written Word? He's not depending on you knowing every nook and cranny of this necessarily. He can still lead you. Born again, baby Christian. Not necessarily familiar with the Word of God. Can he be led by the Spirit of God? Yes. Can he be led in line with the Word? Yes. Sometimes, you know, so we just need to listen to him. That's why it's two sides. If we hear it, the Spirit of God, we believe he's saying something, the more Word we know, the more we automatically can judge whether that's the Word of God or not. The more Word we know, then it's like a filter. We think, you know, something comes and, you know, or somebody says something and says that's the Word of God, but you know three scriptures that contradict it, it's not the Word of God. It's not what the Holy Spirit is saying, because it's never going to contradict the written word. So the more of the word, should we know the Bible? Yes. It's going to help us. The more we know of the word of truth, that we're going to be able to discern what the Spirit of truth is saying, and they always be in harmony. Turn over to 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. We ought to desire that we get into the word. Does your flesh always want to get in the word? No. We know that, though. If we know it, then on the days that we feel like, I really don't feel like reading my Bible, those are the days we probably need to do it the most. And have you ever found that you don't feel like it, but you make yourself do it? This is not legalism. This is not works. It's just like eating a meal. Well, I really don't feel like eating. Okay, well, then you don't eat, and then you don't eat, and then pretty soon you're lightheaded and you're sick or whatever because you're not eating it. It's not about works. We're not buying anything from God when we read our Bible at all. Now, some people do it like that, and that's painful. I mean, then they're just thinking, I have to do this to please God. No, God's probably going, oh, geez. You know, here you go. Why don't you just, I don't think that really pleases him. Some people read hours a day, but not really do it necessarily with the right heart. No, if we know that God, it's all through Jesus what he's done. I want to know what he did. I want to know what's in the word so I can live this life in strength. I want to nourish my spirit. So, but I don't feel like it a certain day, which is my flesh, because my inward man's jumping up and down to go fellowship with God. My outward man says, I'd rather go sit on the couch and eat potato chips or something. Well, we don't let him tell us what to do all the time, so we say, no, I'm going to do it. And boy, we get into it, and after a little bit, it just starts to get so good, and by the time we're done, man, we're just eating it all up. And it nourishes us, and we get done and say, I needed that. And then your flesh will say, oh, yeah, I'm glad we did that. You know, you ever done that with exercise where, oh, I don't want to do that? You get done, well, I'm glad we do that. I'm glad we had the discipline to do that. Just don't listen to your flesh one way or another, because it just... You just tell it what to do, because it's fickle. But yeah, we want to grow by the word. Let's turn over to James. Well, turn back to James. It's the book right before where you are. James 1:22, talking about being led by God and how the word impacts our everyday life. James 1:22. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." That's what we were saying earlier. If we know what the word of God says, and we've heard it, and we know what it is, don't act like it's not the word. We shouldn't do that. But it's tempting to do that. Some, well, I see that, but, you know, I'll get around to it. No, if we see it, we ought to do it. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in whatever he does. So we want to do what the word of God tells us to do. Do, if it says something, like I said, we don't have to debate about it. We don't have to act like, well, I just don't see it. I think I'll pray about it more. If we see it, we ought to do it, and we'll be blessed. If it says it, God will lead us and help us to do what he said, do. Thank God. A couple more scriptures. Let's turn over to John 8. Thank you, Lord. So if we'll look at the Word, desire the Word, let the Word tell us what to do, then we'll grow into what God, you know, more of what God has for us. John 8:31. You know, and let me say this. When we're reading the Word of God, it's part of our relationship with Him. But it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible how much or how little to do. And so don't get under works or under a law that I have to do this amount or else somehow I'm not pleasing God. That's a trap. That's performance. And when we feel more spiritual when we've done a certain amount of thing, then we're under performance mentality and we're not basing whatever our relationship is with God on what Jesus has already done. Should we read the Word? Absolutely. We just talked about the benefits of it, that we're going to know more of what the Bible says. We're going to be able to discern what we ought to do in our life. Does it bias anything with God? No. Should we feel guilty when we don't do what we think we ought to do? No. You ought to feel hungry. And so how much should you do? How much do you eat? Does everybody, I mean, seriously, they have guidelines, but even those, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Because everybody's different, right? If I came over to your house and say, now, you know, this is what you ought to eat today. And for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then tomorrow, and then this is the way I do it because this is the way I do it. You look at me and say, mind your own business. It's my body. I'll figure that out. I have a mechanism inside that tells me when I'm full. I have a brain. I can tell what kind of things to eat. I'll take care of it. There is no system that we need to get into of what somebody does with their personal relationship with God and make it and let them tell us that is the way you ought to do it. Because it does not say that in the Word. If God had a specific way of doing it, He would have put it there. Again, it's not what somebody says, it's what He said. He just said to desire it, spend more time with Him. I mean, you desire to grow through the Word. Of course, we want to put the Word in front of us. And so, just like your personal relationship with your spouse or your children or your friends or how much you eat, you do what works for you. And be free. And we just let relive our relationship with before God. If it's night, great. If it's morning, great. People have different schedules. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Word, what time of day it should be. You know, when you're alert and you're able to do it, then we do it. And we'll be blessed. But otherwise, we can just get into a works mentality and feel bad. We're doing more than we ever have, and yet we missed a day or didn't do it quite the way we think we should now because we're at this level, and then we end up feeling guilty. Which all that's going to do is make you not want to do it the next day, and then pretty soon you're doing nothing because you didn't do as much as you thought you'd do when that was more than you've ever done. The devil's not stupid. If he can't get you one way, he'll get you another way if we're not looking out for what he tries to do. Don't give in to that works mentality. John 8, verse 31. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you abide in my word, see, abide. It's like we talked about at the beginning, just, you know, that we live by his word. If we'll just abide in his word, what does that mean? Well, abide. Stay there. Stay full. Stay geared up. If we'll abide if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. You'll know it. You'll know it. The truth. The way to do it. The way you ought to do it. Excuse me. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth will make us free. The Word of God, as we know that truth, it'll show us what to do. It'll shine light on our path. It'll get us where we need to go. We don't have to to stumble around in the darkness in areas that God has clearly shown light through His Word. And if we'll just let the Word be the Word and go after Him, thank God, we'll get to where we need to go. He'll guide us. He'll lead us. He'll direct us. He'll get us. That path will be shining. We'll know we're walking with Him. We'll see what the Word says. We got the Spirit. See what the Word says. The Spirit of God's bearing witness, and we just walk right on the path He has for us. He'll lead us and guide us and help us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's close with this. 2 Timothy, let's go there and then we'll close. He is so good. Second Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Amen? Is that what you want? To walk this earth thoroughly, just completely equipped. I'm ready. God has equipped me. And I have the Spirit of the living God dwelling inside me to help me in those areas. Maybe I haven't seen the light. Maybe I haven't seen this exactly in Scripture, but God's telling me, do it this way. Do it this way. And I walk in the light that I know with what I have in the Bible, and His Spirit is bearing witness with me. I can't miss. I can't get in the... Don't be afraid that you're going to get in the wrong place, that God somehow isn't going to lead you. That's a lie. That's fear. He's promised us He'd lead us and guide. He's given us the Spirit of truth to lead us. He's given us the Word of God to lead us. We don't have to be afraid that somehow I'm going to be the exception and He's not going to get me there. No, He'll get me there. I can't miss. If I give that Word the place it should have in my life, I'm going to get there. God will lead me. He'll guide me. And I can just walk in peace and truth. Amen?